Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus had driven out a demon. Some in the crowd said, "By the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Others, to test him, asked for a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it is by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If I then drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come among you. When a strong man fully armed guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and divides the spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of someone, it roams through arid regions searching for rest. But finding none, it says, 'I shall return to my home from which I came.' Upon returning, it finds it swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and brings back seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, who move in and dwell there. And the last condition of that man is worse than the first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The last couple of days, Jesus has been speaking to us about perseverance in prayer. Taught us the Our Father. Prayer we're supposed to say more than once. Which we finish by turning to the Lord in His protective providence and says, "Let us not fall when tempted. Deliver us from the evil one." Yesterday, Jesus spoke to us with that image of the neighbor knocking for bread at midnight. About the urgent need to persevere in prayer so that we might learn how to persevere faithfully in life. Today we see why. Because the devil never sleeps. He prowls like a roaring lion. We need to return to the Father regularly, perseveringly, to ask for that help. We see what the devil seeks to do and what Jesus seeks to do. The devil is the great divider. He wants to divide us from God, divide us from others, and interiorly dissolve us. This integration that God wants, body and soul, which we're the Lord's from our follicles down to our toes. The devil wants to divide that. Jesus is the great gatherer. In the gospel verse, that his whole crucifixion was to draw all to himself. We see what the call of the disciples is at the beginning of St. Mark's gospel, that he summoned them to be with him so that he might send them out. So the devil wants to frustrate both of those works so that we're not truly with the Lord. So that we do not carry out his mission of gathering all the nations. So that's what Jesus is talking about here. And our prayer always has to have that persevering openness to how much we need God's help. At the very end of this image, Jesus says the somewhat frightening at first, if there weren't a remedy, reality, that after he has expelled the devil, and the devil finds everything in order, goes back and takes seven others stronger than themselves, and they come back to fight to try to take over anew. So it's not ever this type of thing where we say, all of that is in the rearview mirror, I'm totally fine, I'm totally safe. Because we know that the devil's never going to give up. And that's why we have to persevere all the more. Never resting on our laurels. But as soon as, for example, we've had the devil kicked out in a good confession, to recognize that the devil's going to be angry about it and start to hit us anew on that very day. So to persevere, Lord, free me from that evil one. Help me to continue to unite myself more to you through an increased loving bond with others. Prophet Joel today talks to us, frankly, about the disappointment after what had occurred with the exile. We're in the last of the eight of these post-exilic sources, prophets mainly, after the Jews were brought back from Babylon. They came, as we've been hearing over these last 3 weeks, with great enthusiasm, great joy, to rebuild that temple based on fidelity to the Lord's law, so that what had happened in the exile would never occur again. And the rebuilding of that temple is obviously meant to symbolize the rebuilding of our life with God, because Jesus came as that true temple in order to integrate us into that dwelling place of the Lord. But what happened by the time of Joel, after all of this goodwill, they start to sin again. That's why we hear Joel on Ash Wednesday. He's one of the greatest prophets of conversion, continued conversion. Because after the Jews had come back, corresponding to all of that divine help, they reverted to some of their bad habits of infidelity. God never gave on up, but they needed to persevere. And we see exactly what Joel was asking. Call an assembly. Gather the elders, all who dwell in the land. The response to the devil's work of dividing us from God and others. To call an assembly and go up to the temple, go up to God, not alone, but having gathered others. Because love of God and love of neighbor always go together. Today the church celebrates with joy the feast of St. John the 23rd. Today is the day on which he convened the Second Vatican Council. He would have died June 3rd, 1963, but Charles Lwanga wins. The church thought it very appropriate to name his feast day on the day that he convoked the Second Vatican Council, precisely because there he was carrying out his supreme mission as the vicar of the stronger man. Second Vatican Council was, after a century of incredible division because of the Cold War, because of world wars, because of so many genocides, because of so many and growing difficulties in the church as a result of what was happening in the world. Huge divide between North and South, developed and developing nations, etc. John wanted to make sure that the church was fit for the particular ways that the devil was trying to divide. And he recognized that the old wasn't going to be sufficient, that we needed to hear the gospel and propose it in a new way. So that's what the Second Vatican Council was ultimately about, to try to unite the church so that together we might go and gather all, not with the categories of scholasticism, but with the gospel proposed to the modern mind and the modern person in a way that corresponded to modern questions and all the isms. Ultimately, as young Carol Wojtyla was a bishop participating in the Second Vatican Council, he said that the greatest need as we approach the Second Vatican Council was not just to reform the church's house, not just to get that house in order and more united as a united kingdom, but ultimately to propose an authentic Christian anthropology in response to communism, atheism, individualism, relativism, and all the other isms of the modern world. And that integrated anthropology would be, he worked into Gaudium et Spes, to help us to remember that Christ reveals who we are, makes a supreme calling clear, and then we'll only find ourselves and fulfill ourselves through imitating Christ in the total self-giving of ourselves out of love for others. That it's only by uniting ourselves to Christ and then uniting ourselves to his love for others that we will really be fulfilled in the church, will fulfill its mission. John the 23rd grasped that inchoately, and that's why he called this council. But at a personal level, John was living these lessons. The time he was 14 on his first retreat in seminary, when you look back, he wrote out a beautiful plan of life, a rule of life, to guide him toward holiness. And as his secretary, Cardinal Capovilla, said very late in life, he constantly reviewed that all the way till his dying years. He recognized that in order to be able to serve the church, he had to be united with the Lord in the littlest things of every day. Had to be united to him in prayer. Had to be united to him in his asceticism. Had to be united to him in charity. So he was constantly working on it so that the devil wouldn't be able to wedge himself in there, even in the smallest aperture, in order to create a gaping wound. And because of that communion with the Lord, John the 23rd was able to guide the church in particular ways. Last night would have been the 57th anniversary of his famous appearing at the window of the study in the Apostolic Palace to speak to everybody out in the crowds. You know, we're so used to the Angelus meditations of the Holy Father that any time you go to Rome on a Sunday, he appears in that room. Even Pope Francis, who doesn't live there anymore, still continues to get up there to speak to the crowds assembled. That was not a tradition. But in the vigil of the beginning of the Second Vatican Council, all of a sudden there's a light shown in that window, and John the 23rd gets a microphone, and he starts speaking to the crowds, asking for their prayers. But it finished with something that the crowds just have never been able to forget, which is one of the reasons why they always referred to him as Il Papa Buono, the good Pope. He just said, when you go home tonight, please embrace your kids and kiss them and tell them that the Father loves them. Why was that such a big deal? Because John the 23rd was manifesting a little bit of the tenderness of God the Father, who loves all his children, who cares for every single one, who isn't dividing people by classifying and conquering them through different categories, because God was interested in them all. John the 23rd was an icon of that type of unitive paternal love. The other thing he stressed, especially in convoking the Second Vatican Council, it's what the point of it was. In his opening address, he said, listen, the teachings of the church are not going to change. But what has to change is the way we communicate those truths. He said, what's essential today is that we communicate the truth as a balm of mercy, because what the world needs most, it's the merciful love of God. The devil initially divides us from the Lord, but then the devil doesn't stop. And after we've sinned, for example, he wants us to despair. He wants to keep us as far away as possible from the mercy of the Lord, which is going to heal us and bring us back together. He said, what the world needs most is God's mercy, which is what heals the wounds and brings the body of his son back together. John the 23rd is a great intercessor for the type of unity that Christ himself wants. We recognize that the Lord does his great gathering here by uniting us with his word, and then by making us through holy communion one body, one spirit in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us cooperate with what the Holy Spirit seeks to do as we enter into communion with that stronger man.